Thank you, Father. Glory to your name, Father. And Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, today we ask and receive wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of Christ. And in this light of Christ, ignorance is banished, oppression is banished, contradictions are banished. Truth reigns to the praise of your glory. Let the sick be healed. Let those in need of one miracle or the other receive from the abundance which you give. Let those in need of specific directions receive those directions. Clarity, precision, entrance of your word reigns in our hearts. And we see Jesus. We see ourselves in him. And the word will see him in us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I seem to be having a bit of a technical itch. So a feedback will be very necessary if you can hear me or not. Awesome. Today we want to talk about the school of Christ. The school of Christ. I don't know if we can finish this today, but we'll continue from where we stopped if we cannot finish it. The school of Christ. And I want to begin from 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 15 to 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 15 to 16. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, very quick question as we begin this study. It's very paramount we ask ourselves the question. When Paul wrote this to Timothy, what were the scriptures he was talking about? We believe that Matthew, Mark, Luke, John were not written then. The scriptures Timothy was acquainted with was Genesis to Malachi, primarily Genesis to Malachi. So how that from a child you have known Genesis to Malachi, how that from a child you have been acquainted with the holy scriptures, Genesis to Malachi. And what did the scriptures do to Timothy? You know, some people, because they became born again, the first thing they want to do is run from Genesis, run from Exodus, run from Leviticus, run from Numbers, run from Deuteronomy, and go and hide in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. But the Bible says, Timothy, how that from a child you've known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. What did Timothy do with the scriptures? The Bible says he knew the scriptures. He knew the scriptures. So he knew Genesis to Malachi. The word for know there is a very interesting word. It's eido, E-I-D-O. It means to investigate. It means to pay attention to. It means to perceive. It means to understand. So Timothy had a consecration. Timothy had a devotion. That devotion was to the Holy Scriptures. And that devotion made him pay attention to the details of Genesis, pay attention to the details of Exodus, pay attention to the details of Leviticus, pay attention to the details of Deuteronomy, of Numbers, of Joshua, of Judges, of Ruth. And it says, the scriptures were able to make you wise. So what did the scriptures do to Timothy? The scriptures imparted to Timothy an ability. What's that ability? It says it's able to make you wise. Able. The word able there is the word for power. It's the word for ability. So when Timothy paid attention to Genesis down through Malachi, he received power. And that power made him vulnerable to the wisdom of God. That power made him vulnerable to a particular wisdom. It says, you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise. So what was the result? The scriptures he understood, the scriptures he paid attention to, was able to make him wise. The word for wisdom there is very important as well. Wise is the word sophizo, S-O-P-H-I-Z-O. Sophizo actually means to be skillful. It means to be skillful. So the scriptures imparted to Timothy an understanding, a skillfulness. The scriptures imparted to Timothy a skillfulness. What's that skillfulness? I don't know if you can see this. If you can see this, please give me feedback so I can be sure this is sharing properly. I believe it's better now. Okay. All right. So the scriptures imparted to Timothy wisdom. What's that wisdom about? It said the scriptures were able to make you wise in view of salvation, in salvation, which is through faith in Christ Jesus. Salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So when you handle Genesis, you handle Leviticus, you handle Deuteronomy, you handle Numbers, what would it do to you? When you pay attention to it, fully devoted to it, it will give you a wisdom. It will make you insight. It will give you insight. It will give you skillfulness. It will give you understanding. What kind of understanding? Understanding of salvation. What kind of salvation? Is salvation not found in Buddha? Is salvation not found in Muhammad? Is salvation not found in Hinduism or Buddhism? Is salvation not found in yourself? Is salvation not found in New Age? Is salvation found in Christ Jesus? So Genesis will give you wisdom. What's that wisdom? Salvation that comes through faith in Christ. Exodus will give you wisdom. What's that wisdom? Salvation that is only found in God, made available by God, accessible by faith in Christ Jesus. If you read Leviticus, what will it give you? It will give you a wisdom, an understanding of salvation, but a salvation that is found only in Christ, a salvation exclusive to Christ, something only God can do, something you can't do for yourself, a salvation God offers, accessible by faith in Christ. So Genesis to Malachi would say, would give us the ability, will give one the ability to have insight, to have skillfulness, to have understanding in the salvation that comes through faith in Christ Jesus. In the salvation that comes through faith in Christ Jesus. Now he says all scriptures are inspired of God. All scriptures are given by the inspiration of God and they are profitable. Now please follow this very closely. The word for profitable there means, it's from the Greek word ophelimos. It means helpful. The scriptures were designed by God to help man. The scriptures were designed by God to be of service to man. It says all scriptures, they are profitable. That means that there is an advantage of the scriptures. What's the advantage of the scriptures? The advantage of the scriptures is not that it contains geography. It's not that it contains business tips. It's not that it contains how to fight war or how to, you know, take over or build empires and build cities. Now, the Bible contains geography, but the Bible is not a geographical book. The Bible contains, you know, economical, you know, all economic decisions of men, but doesn't make the Bible an economical book. The Bible contains, you know, history, doesn't make the Bible a historical book. God gave the scriptures for a particular purpose. When I look into the scriptures in the light of Christ, the scriptures begin to profit me. What's that advantage? It is profitable. It is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine from the Greek word didaskalia. It means both a teaching and that which is taught. It means a teaching. It means that which is taught. So God ordained the scripture to yield its advantage when it's used for doctrine. Not when it's used for, you know, mantra, you know, magic. People believe if they put their Bible under their pillow and do the sign of the cross, they will be saved from the demon. They will be saved from nightmares. They will automatically be enrolled in heaven. People believe that if they just open any verse of scripture and then see something, maybe they see that an Enoch built a city. They will take that verse and say, an Enoch built a city, therefore I will build a city. Many believe that if you just open the Bible, you see anything there, you can just, you know, take it. If it says, and this happened to this, you can just take it and go do whatever you want to do with it. But the Bible says the scriptures yield their profit when it is used for doctrine. I heard someone preaching, you know, recently, and I believe he thought that the proof of his ministry would be stamped by God if he just quotes a scripture. So he opened the Bible and said, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat this, and this begat this. And he says, stop. Why are they begotten? The reason they are begotten is because the devil wants to, you know, he took that verse of scripture and used it as the stamp of God, you know, to endorse his error. But the Bible says that there is a specific profit that the scriptures yield to us. That profit is when it is used for doctrine, for teaching. It implies not just any kind of teaching, but a specific kind of teaching. What's that teaching? The teaching in the light of Christ is salvation found in Christ, accessible through faith, which leads to conduct that is in line with that reality, aka the doctrine of Christ. So the scriptures, even though you can find anything you want to do, anybody can actually use the scriptures to do whatever they want to do in this life, including genocide. But the scriptures actually yield their profit when it's used for doctrine. Not just any kind of doctrine, the doctrine of Christ. What's the doctrine of Christ? Salvation, accessible through faith in Christ Jesus, and the conducts that are aligned with that reality. Now, doctrine here is the umbrella word. It doesn't mean that doctrine is one use, then there is another use called reproof. No, doctrine is the umbrella word. Didaskalia is the umbrella word. In doctrine now, what will happen is that you will find reproof. Reproof is from the word electros. It means conviction. It means evidence. It means a proof. It means that by which a thing is proved or tested. So when I take the scriptures, I take Genesis in the light of Christ, and I see Christ in Genesis. I see the salvation available in him, accessible through faith in Genesis. What happens to me? In that teaching, I find conviction. Christ becomes for me a conviction. Now, not only does it become a conviction, he becomes the filter by which I prove all things else. Is this making sense? I can't hear you, so if I see you nodding, I would know you're still following. Okay, so when I take the scriptures and I preach the doctrine of Christ, it becomes for me an evidence. It becomes for me conviction. It becomes for me proof. and becomes for me the thing by which, the filter by which I prove all things. It becomes for me sight, and it becomes for me the lenses by which I see all things. So all the scriptures are profitable. What's the profit? The doctrine of Christ. In that doctrine of Christ, I have conviction. I have evidence. I have proof. And then I know what is right or wrong in the light of that reality. I know how to comport myself. I know how to act in the light of the doctrine I've just received. Now, when I receive the conviction, what happens? That conviction received into me becomes correction, which is from the Greek word epanotosis. It means a restoration to an upright or right state. It means to set things aright. It means an improvement of life or character. It means a straightening up. It means a rectification. It means that the conviction you receive of Christ will reform you. So you cannot use Christ to endorse foolishness. You can't use Christ to endorse sinful actions. If you accept the message of Christ, it will do something to you. What would it do? It will straighten you up. This is the profit of the scriptures. Hallelujah. Are we still here? Epanatosis means it means there is an improvement of life and character. So in the doctrine of Christ, I will have conviction, which is the means by which I filter all things or discern all things. When I begin to discern all things, it begins to minister to me and correct the things that need to be corrected in me. Which means that God never ordained for the new man to glory in immorality in the name of weakness. Please listen to this very carefully. You know, people quote the scripture, you say, in my weakness, then I'm strong. When I'm weak, when we are weak, he is strong. Now listen very carefully. When the Bible talks about weakness, it's not talking about the flesh. This mortal tent is limited. It's not optimized for the glory of the Spirit within us. That's the weakness. The weakness is not that you are a captive to pornography. God now understands and God wants to now sugarcoat it. No. That's not the weakness. That's the weakness that the power of God swallows up. That's the weakness that the doctrine of Christ would eat up. So when a man receives the doctrine of Christ, the first thing it will do in that man, it will begin to correct the man, straighten the man up. Which means that if anybody is glorying in any weakness that is an immorality, that person is denying the doctrine of Christ or not allowing that doctrine to be the lenses by which he sees all things. When I open myself to the doctrine of Christ, it will do something to me. I cannot help it. There will be an improvement of character. There will be an improvement of life. Because I can see him clearly. And then he becomes the standard. Is this making sense? Epanatosis. Correction. Correction. So like someone once said, he said a weakness is an area of your life that you have not exposed to the word of God. So when people are saying, this is just me. If you talk to me, I can slap you. I can forget my five hands in your face. Let's leave church in one corner. God knows that this is just me. No. That person is just telling you that he has a different filter by which he allows things, by which he approves his actions. And that filter is not Christ. That filter is his colleague. That filter is from Benin City. That filter is from, Manitoba. That filter is borrowed. It's from the Word. That filter is a gift of Satan. Okay? That filter is of earthy. A weakness that is related with any form of immorality, any form of foolishness, any form of antichrist realities, is a weakness a man has contained in his heart by refusing the doctrine of Christ to work on him. If I take the doctrine of Christ, it will correct me. Amen? So what will happen? I will have instruction in righteousness. The word there is the word paideia. Now this is, it means education. It means training. Proper training. Serious training. This training includes disciplining, but often within a father-son relationship. And it always ends in growth. So all scriptures are profitable. What's the profit? God gives me the doctrine of Christ. I accept that doctrine of Christ as the only evidence, as the only reality, as the only option, as the only proof, and as the only filter by which I prove what is right or what is wrong. When I accept that, it corrects me, it rectifies me, it reforms me, it builds me up. It becomes for me my institution. It becomes for me my training. It disciplines me. And then that discipline there, in the process of the discipline, I see God as Father nurturing me towards growth. So the scriptures are profitable for what? For growth, for spiritual growth. How does spiritual growth come? Through instruction, through education. What kind of education? The education that strengthens you up, that corrects you, that improves you. Where does that come from? The conviction you have gotten from the doctrine of Christ. What's the doctrine of Christ again? The salvation available through faith in Christ Jesus, which leads to actions that are consistent with the reality. And this instruction is often very practical. Paideia is very practical. It's very experiential. You know, a lot of people ignore the doctrine of Christ because they feel like it's not practical. They say it's not experiential. So when they want to hear about the gospel, they hear the doctrine of Christ. But when they want to know how to act, they go take another doctrine. They borrow the doctrine from the Word. They borrow the doctrine from outside Christ, and they bring it in order for them to say, okay, I want to grow, I want to use that to grow. But the Bible says that there is a specific kind of doctrine that leads to growth, that leads to spiritual growth. That doctrine is the doctrine of Christ. It's the doctrine of Christ. It's the doctrine of Christ. So outside the doctrine of Christ, I am depriving God to give me father to son discipline. Is it making sense? Amen. Are we still here? Are we still connecting? Again, I can't hear because of the computer I'm using, but I can see your faces. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we can say, in summary, this is just an introduction. When we explain the scriptures, Genesis, Malachi, Exodus, Leviticus, when we explain the scriptures in the light of salvation, which is by faith in Christ, what will happen? It will convince us. It will become our conviction. It will become a proof by which we prove all things. It will set things aright in us. It will correct us. It would allow God to educate us, to train us, to discipline us, and to nurture us as a father does to the child. And what happens then? The character of the father gets to be revealed in the child. When the father nurtures the child, the character of the father is then revealed in the child. So when I read the scriptures in the light of the salvation, which is by faith in Christ Jesus, what would be the end goal? The end goal would be that the character of my father will be revealed in me. What is salvation? Salvation is the character of God revealed. It's the character of God. You would see in salvation the character from Genesis to Malachi. You would see the character of God in saving man. You would see the nature of God. When you said you put your faith in Christ, what did you do? You put your faith not only in Christ, not only in the name Christ, but in the character of God. In the reputation of God, in the nature of God. When you put your faith in Christ Jesus, what happened to you? the scriptures begin to profit you in such a way that the same character you put your faith in now becomes your character. Amen. Amen. So when I take Genesis to Malachi in the light of Christ, what would happen? First, faith will be stirred up. After faith, what happens? The character of my Father will be seen in me. And what's the character of the Father? The character of God is summed up in one word, love. So Genesis will reveal to us the extravagant love of God. Right from Genesis chapter 1, the God who commanded light to shine out darkness has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. We would see the character of God and we would see his love. When I see his love, what would I do? I put my faith in his love. When I put my faith in his love, what happens? It becomes my conviction. When it becomes my only conviction, what happens? The love I put my faith in now becomes my character. So why did God give Genesis down through Malachi and then gave us the epistles to explain Genesis through Malachi? Why did he do that? So that we can have faith, and then as we put our faith in him, his character is revealed in us. Is this making sense to you? The advantage of the scriptures, therefore, would be the revealing of the Father's love in the child. The revealing of the Father's love in the child. This is not love made in Iyokoriomo, in Benin City. It's not love made in Calabar. Ah, yes. It's not love made in Lagos.
Oh, yes.
It's the love made in heaven, the uncreated love of God. Sorry. The full-blown character of the Father. Now revealed in his sons, aka spiritual growth.
Oh, yes.
So what is spiritual growth? Spiritual growth will not be in how prominent a believer is in a local assembly. Spiritual growth will be to the extent that the believer's conduct is a revelation of God. Amen. When the believer's conduct begins to be a revelation of God on earth, we can say the believer is growing.
Yes.
This is why God gave us the scriptures. This is why God gave us not just the scriptures, but an interpretative principle, a way to look at the scriptures. Do you know that covetousness is a form of Bible interpretation? Greediness is a form of Bible interpretation. When a man sees Genesis chapter 3 from verse 15, it says the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent, and the man refuses to see Christ there, and he says to you, "Is your money that will kill the devil for you?"
My God.
That is what is called covetousness as a form of interpretation of scriptures. When a man refuses to see Christ but only sees the means by which God will make him a billionaire from the scriptures, that is covetousness. The Bible did not just give us the scriptures, it gave us a mode of interpretation. It's very critical. Without this mode of interpretation, we don't have any advantage. The Bible is not exclusive to us. I hope you know that. The Jews use the same scriptures we use. The difference between us and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who love the praise of men, who love the sensuals of men, the worship of men, is our mode of interpretation.
Yeah.
The gift of God in the scriptures is Christ. Because if you read the scriptures in the light of Christ, you would have no excuse for wrongdoing. If you read the scriptures outside the light of Christ, you would have 1,000 excuses to commit all manner of evil. Matter of fact, people would even kill in the name of God. When they killed Jesus, they were quoting scriptures.
That's right.
Yeah, they were quoting scriptures. When they killed the saints, when Paul, then it was Saul, when he stood by to gather the garments of the people, what happened? They were mad at his interpretation of the scriptures, at Stephen's interpretation.
Yeah.
They both had the same scriptures. Stephen took the scriptures from beginning to end and demolished their entire theory, their entire philosophy. And guess what? They saw that when Stephen was preaching, not only did they see that he was demolishing their practices, they could see the end of the temple. The end of their physical temple, where they go to that hallowed temple, where they worship God while their heart is far away from him. They could see the end of the pigeon that they were selling, the birds and the rams. They were all going. Do you mean we will not need this anymore? So I will now be broke? You must be crazy. We will kill you. They were preaching from the same scriptures. But the difference was the lens. The difference was the doctrine. One had the doctrine of Christ. The other had the living of the Pharisees. The living of the scribes, the living of men, the doctrine of demons and devils. You go some places today and you preach Christ, you are at the risk of being murdered, because it will collapse entire empires.
Yes.
Built on lies. You can't use the doctrine of Christ to establish a lie. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So look at Christ. Focus on him. Paul told Timothy, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of our God and Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace and mercy and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus. He said, Timothy, don't leave Ephesus, so stay there. While I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some, that they teach what? No other what?
Doctrine.
How many doctrines do we have? We have one doctrine.
Christ.
The message of Christ. And then the conducts that follow. Our faith in that message. We only have one message. One doctrine. That they teach no other doctrine. What does that mean? It means that a minister of God can be tempted to go out of his syllabus in the school of Christ. To go out of the curriculum of spiritual growth. He says, charge them. Charge them. Charge them. He says, neither give heed to fables. What will happen when a man leaves the message of Christ? He will give heed to what? Fables. Endless genealogies. Where would this come from? From the Bible. He will use the Bible to preach fables. He will use the Bible to preach endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. We have one doctrine. This is just an introduction. We have one doctrine, one doctrine, one doctrine. It's the message of Christ. I believe 2 John 1, I believe, he was saying to the people there, he said, if anyone comes to you with any other doctrine, he says, receive him not into your house, neither bid him good speed. Is that serious? Is that serious? It's that serious. It says, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. So the scriptures, therefore, in summary, if you read the entire scriptures from Genesis down through Revelations, what would happen? You would see faith in Christ, faith in Christ, faith in Christ, faith in Christ. What would be the result of faith in Christ? Love. Love for all the saints.
Hallelujah.
Love for all the saints.
Yeah.
Love for all the saints. Love, love, love will be the result of your faith in the doctrine of Christ.
Yeah.
And that is why Paul speaking, in Ephesians 1:15 says, wherefore, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love to all the saints. You see, they always go together. Faith and love will always go together. In Colossians 1, 3 to 4, he says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ and of the love which ye have to all the saints. When a man has faith in Christ, every excuse not to love is demolished. So, when I'm not walking in love, it shows I'm putting my confidence in myself, not in Christ. When a man chooses to behold Jesus, love in his conduct is the resultant effect. In 1 Peter chapter 1, from verse 22, he says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto a feigned love. Notice, you obey the truth how? By faith. By faith through the Spirit. What happened? When you obey the truth by faith, what happens? Unfeigned love of the brethren comes. To see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. What is spiritual growth? The ability of a saint in Christ to walk in love passionately, aggressively, yes. Fervently. 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 Now, I want to do something. I want to read, let's say, about 20 scriptures. 20 verses of the scriptures, at least maybe 19 or 20. Through the epistles, we would see that the conduct of the believer is summed up as love. The conduct of the believer. There is no single good conduct that you can interpret outside love. No single one. Think about any. Mention it. Think about any. It's always an expression of the love. Now let's read a couple of scriptures together. I think this is very important. I'll just say this. What would be the fruit of your faith in Christ? It would be love. So when I'm enrolled in the school of Christ, love will be the fruit that will be evident. Love will be the fruit that will be evident. Mm. Faith came to give me liberty to walk in love.
Yes. Faith walked in love. Hallelujah.
Lord. Faith opened the door to Christ. Christ came in me. Began to walk in me. What is the proof of that walk? My love. My love walk.
Yes.
My love walk. Let's read a lot of, a couple of instructions from the scriptures. I want to take you through the entire, almost through the entire episodes today. So let's read together. Now, I want everybody to read together. So read from where you are, even though you are on mute. Let me hear you read. Romans 12 from verse 9 to 10. Now, take this as an instruction from God. This is the will of God for you. It says, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. What is the message of Genesis? Faith in Christ, which allows me to walk in love. Love that is genuine. Love that makes me abhor what is evil. Love that makes me hold fast to what is good. Love that makes me love my brother with brotherly affection. Love that makes me seek to outdo one another in showing honor. This is the entire message of the Bible.
Hallelujah.
The entire message. There is no message as simple as the message of Christ. But then there is no message as deep as the message of of Christ. It's the deepest message you can ever preach. This is the deep thing of God. Romans 13:8. Let's read together. One, two, go. This is the school of Christ. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. What is the law? The scriptures. What is the goal of the scriptures? Faith in Christ that leads to walking love. The entire message summarized. Let's read on. Ephesians 4 from verse 1 to 2. Everybody read together. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. What's the command here? To be gentle, to be patient, to bear with one another. How do you do that? In love.
Amen.
So the entire conduct here are summed up in the word love. 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 You can't be saying you are walking in love and say, oh, you know, there are several fruits of the Spirit. You know, I have kindness, but I don't have patience. It's a lie. Love is a single fruit. The Spirit gives a single fruit. It didn't say the fruits. It said the fruit of the Spirit is love. And if you choose that love will be patient, that love will be kind, that love will have self-control, that love will be gentle, that love will not be self-serving, that love will be long-suffering. It's the fruit. One fruit. Love. You cannot escape from this, you see. We cannot partition our spirituality to say, I'm a solid man in Bible study, but when it comes to anger, just leave that side, leave me. Leave me. I'm still cultivating. You know, sometimes we use that as a license to do what the flesh longs for. Selfish ambitions. We say, you know, there are 9 fruits. I'm good in 5. There's 4 left. God understands. I'm trying. No. In the doctrine of Christ, there's 1 fruit. One fruit. Love. Tell your neighbor, say, no escape. The character of the Father must be revealed in the child. Amen. There's no escape. Let's read on. We'll read the love scriptures today. Ephesians 4:31 to 32. One to go. Let all bitterness. How many bitterness?
All.
All, not some. Don't leave a bit. Don't leave, in Benin we call it jara.
Extra.
Small. Don't pocket it. You shouldn't have pockets of bitterness. Let all bitterness and what? Rot. How many rots? All rot. And what? All. Anger. How many anger now?
All
anger. And what? Clamor. They say empty vessels make the loudest noise. Clamor means to make noise. A lot of noise everywhere. Noise. Let all clamor and what? Slander be put away from you. This is the message of the scriptures.
Hallelujah.
Faith in Christ will do this to you.
Hallelujah.
If you accept it, it will
Hallelujah.
Do this to you.
Hallelujah.
Along with all malice. And what should you do? Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. So what is the message of Genesis? God in Christ offered eternal life. If you believe that message, if you receive that message, you will begin to walk as God your Father. No escape. Amen. Let's read on. Ephesians 5 from verse 1 to 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. We'll come to this. And walk in what? Love. Walk in what? Love. As Christ loved us
and
gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. No escape. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands. Chidera. Tolu. Husbands. Love your wife. As Christ loved the church. See, the way you should love your wife has been defined for you. You don't have a right to innovate. You don't have a right to. It has been defined for you. Be willing to die for your spouse. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Gave himself up for her. So, you know, a lot of people feel like you don't have to walk in love towards people close to you. because they are close to you already. But you see, the Bible begins to tell us that we should have love for all the saints. Why? Because we will start there first as the practice ground before we begin to love those who want to kill us. Husbands must intentionally walk in love by faith. If you are loving your spouse right now, only because she's doing the things that, you know, just sweeten your belly, you're happy. And then when she does something that you don't like, she falls beneath the standard, you get angry. You are acting out of faith. That there's no faith there. It takes faith to do what you cannot see, physically relate to. So your spouse may annoy you. But what should you do? Walk by faith towards your spouse. Daniel Ibre can do some things that will just make me say, and you call yourself a believer. Look at this person now. But the Bible says I should walk by faith towards him. What does that mean? It means I see the best in him only. When I send him a message and he does not reply for 3 days, I believe the best of him. I'm walking by faith. Why? Because my faith in Christ relegates me to faith in my actions. Nobody commits gossip by faith. You don't practice malice by faith. Yes. You don't do it by faith. No. You do the exact opposite by faith. This is the message of the scriptures. Let's read on. We have a lot of scriptures to go today. We'll read just to ensure that we all agree that there is no excuse. No excuse. Amen.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 2 from verse 1 to 2. Let's read together. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having what? The same love. Being in full accord and of one mind. Let's read on. Colossians 3:19. Repeating the same thing. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. This is telling us of the nature of our Father. He's not a harsh God. And he doesn't give birth to children who are harsh. So where do you borrow harshness from? You borrow it from a different philosophy. From the word. From the emptiness and the vanity in the word. Harshness is not an in Christ reality. Is a gift of hell. Believer, very, very harsh. And yet they are happy with it. Proud about it. Unapproachable. It's not from you. You borrowed it. You borrowed it. It's not in your nature. Amen. Especially husbands. Why? Because you would see several things that would almost make you harsh with your spouse. But walk by faith. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 from verse 12. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you. What is spiritual growth? Increasing and abounding in love. Increasing and abounding in love. Increasing and abounding in love. Let's read on. 1 Thessalonians 5:13 says, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. It says, be at peace amongst yourself. These are conducts of the believer spelt out. Conducts of the believer spelt out. I would need to power this. I'll need to power this. Titus chapter 2 from verse 4. Titus chapter 2 from verse 4. Let's read together. What does it say? And so train the young women to love their husbands and children. So in love, there is training. It's not a feeling. There's a school you go to. You are schooled in love. It says wives ought to be trained. Young women ought to be trained. Why do you need to be trained? Because it does not come by default. It doesn't come by default. Daniel, if you can help me with this, please.
Okay.
Power the computer. Let's read on. Hebrews chapter 10, from verse 24. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. To love and good works. The word "and" there here is used as an interpretation. To love, which will be good works. The love will be seen in your good works. Amen. It's from the Greek word kai. Kai can mean a conjunction or an interpretation, depending on the context. This is an interpretation. How will the love be seen? In your good works. So you cannot say, I'm loving with my heart, and we're not seeing it in your practical actions. Tell your neighbor, say, no hiding place. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Light will overwhelm us. Light will overshadow us. Light will consume us until there's nothing left but God revealed in us. Amen. We're still going to read more scriptures. It's very intentional. Very intentional. It's very healthy as well. Hebrews 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Don't pause. Don't put it. It doesn't have a. Don't put it off. Don't put your love off. Don't switch your love off. I have an auntie who went to a burial ceremony. She got angry and she beat someone up. And she's a deaconess. So somebody caught her from her church and said, deaconess, what are you doing? He said, the Bible says we should fight the good fight of faith. Well, you see, it's the direct opposite. The fight of faith will be to restrict yourself from fighting back. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's read some more scriptures. James chapter 2 from verse 8. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. It says you are doing well. Which means the message of the scriptures is love. It's faith in Christ, which leads to a God kind of love revealed in your conduct. It says you are doing well. 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 1 Peter 2:17, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor, walk in love, walk in love. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. These are all the instructions given to us as saints in Christ. Love, 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 love. Repeated over and over and over again. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, keep loving one another. How? Endlessly. Since love covers a multitude of sins. Walk in love. This is the school of Christ. It's the school of Christ. It's the school of Christ. The school of Christ is not a school where you learn to be, when you learn to outshine your brother or outshine your sisters. The school of Christ is a school where you learn to walk in love, where your conduct reveals God. Anyone who names the name of the Lord has been enrolled in this school. Don't take classes out of the school that God put you in. Don't take classes from Manitoba. From the spiritual atmosphere of Manitoba, from the aeon, from the age with its corrupt moral tendencies. Don't take classes from them. If you see a believer not doing this, he's taking classes outside the school God put him in. Ephesians 4:1 will tell us, it says, I testify that you walk not as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, in the emptiness of their mind, in the futility of their thinking. So they have a thinking pattern, they have a philosophy, they have a set of beliefs that helps them sustain consecration to sinful actions. There's a way of thinking. A believer may choose to go with that school, that class. The Bible directs us to focus on our class, to mind our business. What's our business? Faith in Christ, which leads to love in our actions. Since we know that we have passed from death to life, since we love the brothers, whoever does not love abides in death. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Love is an action. Love is an action. Love is an action. Amen?
Amen.
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 Let's say that again. Love is an action.
Love is an action.
It will be seen in your actions.
Yes.
Can't say I love you. I love you forever. I love you forever. I love you forever, Lord. And you're keeping malice. Hey, revisit it. Revisit it. Revisit it. Let the doctrine of Christ seize your heart. Let it seize your heart. Let it seize your heart. Let it seize your heart. Now, I'm not saying you will not be upset by people. People will upset you. That's the truth. The people closest to you will upset you the most. Because you can see them.
Yes.
That's why you need to talk to them by faith. Love will be seen in an action. Just imagine God in heaven before we are all saved. Just saying, oh, humanity, I love you forever. I love you for. I never came to die. It will sing us to hell. We will all go to hell. We'll be serenaded by the voice to hell. The love that saved us was hard. It wasn't by feelings. It wasn't emotional. He went against his emotions. You think it was funny for God to be manifest in the flesh? You think it's funny? That's such a limitation. And for God himself to be insulted by fellow men, to endure their foolishness for over 30 years. It's not funny. It's inconvenient. I don't know how you see it. It's inconvenient. For him to be able to look into the earth and see that they are following him for bread, for food. Yet, still loved them enough to die for them. Then the same people he came for. Because they didn't receive him. They rejected him to the very end. Even after he died, they didn't want anything to do. They wanted his body grounded. They hated him so much. The love extended to them had to be an action. It had to be an action. Listen, the love extended, the love you must extend, we must extend, I must extend, has to be an action. So when I can intentionally run away from you, the action will be to now run to you. That's the action. When I can intentionally see you come in this way and disappear, the action will be to see you coming and go and embrace you. Amen. Amen. Let's read on. So, love is an action. It's an action. 1 John 3:22-23. Whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and we do what pleases him. This is the commandment that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus. What's the commandment? Two commandments. First, what do? Believe in the name. Believe in the name. Believe in the gospel. Believe in the reputation of Jesus. In the finished work of Christ. What happens after you believe in that? Love one another. Just as he has commanded us. So the entire scriptures, faith and love. faith in Christ and love. Nothing more. Nothing more. Amen. Let's still read some more. 1 John 4, from verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. Are you seeing this? That these guys are very intentional, repeating this again and again and again and again. They are not economical with this truth. I'm just showing you, through the entire scriptures, they are not economical. They are very loud on this. Very loud on this. Which is why fornication can never be out of love. Amen. That alone crumbles the entire world system. Because they make us think that, you know, premarital relations would be because you love the person too much. But faith in Christ tells us otherwise. If I love my brother, I wouldn't worship him more. Hope you know. Amen. Why do people worship someone? You say, I love this man of God so much, and they want to worship the person. It's not love. Now it's clear, it's exposed. Christ has exposed it. It's not love. Because love will see Christ in the person's actions and say, Jesus is glorified in you, brother. Jesus is revealed in you, sister. I'll pray for you more. I'll join you in prayers more. That's love. The world has a warped system, a warped understanding of love. I feel like if I worship this person, if I begin to worship Daniel Ibrahim now, it will show that I love him so much. But the Bible doesn't say that's love. The Bible says that is selfishness. It's amazing how idols are built out of selfishness. Amen. It says, in this, the love of God was made manifest amongst us. How did we know about the love of God? It says that God sent his only son. So what is the love of God? God sent his only son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. So what is the love of God? The sacrifice of Jesus is the love of God. It's not an emotional love. It's a serious matter. So what is the love of the saints, therefore? A sacrifice born out of the inspiration of the sacrifice of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We'll go on. Let's go on. I guess we'll end with this slide, with the scriptures. 1 John 5:1-2. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and obey his commandments. What is his command? First, that you believe in his name. And second, that you love. Because if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You read that context, the first thing you will say to them, believe, you believe, you believe. Believe in God, believe also in me. Believe, believe, believe. You can't walk in love without faith in Christ. And faith in Christ, seeing the character of Christ, will now become your love walk that makes your faith find expression. Your faith walk find expression. Does that make sense? So Christ acts towards me. Christ acts in a way that is sacrificial towards me. I put faith in him. My faith in him makes me now walk in love. My walking in love now makes my faith effective. That's the circle of spiritual maturity. We all have this work to do. Brothers, we have work to do. We've got work to do. 2 John 1:5. Now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have heard from the beginning, that's Genesis. From the beginning of time, there is a commandment we've always heard, that we love one another.
Amen.
Amen. So we can say that love is the summary of the believer's good conduct. Every good conduct can be termed an expression of love. There is no good deed outside love. No good deed outside what? Love. No good deed. No good deed. I don't know how somebody wants to do good for someone and then uses evil to do the good. The word tells us it's possible. It says, I think they say the end justifies the means, I believe. For us, both the end and the means are the same.
Yeah.
Are the same. Love is the summary. Mm. We can also say, love is the sanity of the believer's spirituality. Mm. How do you know someone who is healthy spiritually? Spiritually healthy. Love. Are you seeing love in the person's life? It's not in the tongues they speak.
No.
It's not in the gifts they manifest. It is in how they manifest the gifts. Mm. Amen? Mm. Are you seeing this? Mm. Are you seeing this? So it's not in the gifts we manifest. Manifesting the gifts is very important. Mm. But how we manifest it is more important to God. So, if you see someone in a local church who can function in all the dimensions and preaches potter every time, potter, it just tells you, oh, I just transfigured yesterday. I was here in Ibadan, and then later I was in Lagos, and then later I was in Canada. In fact, I was there everywhere at the same time. And you watch the person's conduct, and you're not seeing the love of Christ revealed. That spirituality is toxic. Your spirituality can be questioned if it doesn't end in an intentional, sacrificial love walk. I'm speaking to myself too. Don't think I'm just preaching at you. No. I am speaking to myself. These are dealings of the Spirit with me. What is the essence of a believer's spiritual life? That their Christ, the love of God is revealed in him. The nature of God revealed fully in him without interruptions. So how do you know your spirituality is not toxic? What is your approach towards love? What is your approach towards love? What is your approach towards love? Say, you want to be a spiritual giant? Commit yourself to working in love. Commit yourself to seeing the scriptures in the light of Christ. And commit yourself to seeing that the character of Christ is your only reality. We don't have a plan B. We don't have a plan B. Christ is our only reality. He is our proof, and he is the proof by which we prove all things. We can say that love then is the scope of the believer's sacrifice. Now, this is very dicey. I want to really pause here. It could be very dicey. You know, our service in church can deceive us to think that we are growing. I meant to say, of course, spiritual growth will be seen in service to the saints. Of course. But I mean the service or the sacrifice that are prominent. You know, there are services that everybody sees. Let's say, for example, when this lockdown is over and we go back to our assembly, one person just comes and buys us food, prepares us jollof rice, properly made, properly prepared, garnished with chicken, beef, and all manner of assortments. That's sacrifice, right? Mm. That's sacrifice.
Yeah.
But that sacrifice will not count if it wasn't done out of love.
Yeah.
If it was done out of eye service, that sacrifice is cancelled.
Yes.
Your sacrifice only makes sense if it is done out of love. A lot of believers who are, you know, saying, Father, I want to just You know, they see believers who move in the gifts of the Spirit and say, I want to press. And they go and they want to, and they are praying. And the only thing they are thinking about in their prayer, Dan Deliberate says, open a church. Not even open a church. It's to be the one who has the monopoly of the move of God. They ask the person, what is the goal of your pressing? What are you pressing? Say, I want to, if there is any thing that needs to be done in this life, the whole world will come to me for
Jesus,
for help. So that God will now be speaking through me and me alone.
Mm.
Now, they will fast for 40 days because of that, without food and water. 40 days. Oh, no, with water. 40 days with water only. They will fast and fast. And that sacrifice, so.
Mm.
But that sacrifice is out of your scope. In the school of Christ.
Mm. Mm.
It's out of your scope. Mm. Your sacrifices only make sense when they are love inspired.
Mm. Mm.
When a believer sees that, you know, in the gathering, I'm not seeing the flow of the Spirit. I want to go pray about it. That's good.
Yes.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. It says, Epaphras, a servant of Christ, labors fervently.
Mm.
Why was he laboring that hard? For Paul to tell you someone is laboring. Paul is a laborer.
Mm.
Ah. For Paul to tell you someone is laboring fervently in prayer.
Mm.
That you may stand perfect and complete. That's one man determining the direction, the spiritual climate of a local assembly.
Mm.
Saying if Philip does not rise to walk in love in this life, Father, I will give no rest. I will pray in tongues 5 hours a day for Philip.
Mm.
Not for myself. Are you saying this making sense?
Mm. My God.
So I'm not just praying again to say, Father, I earnestly covet the spirituals. I'm also praying for my brothers. So that I will not be seen as a superstar for what is available to all of us.
Yes.
What use is it?
No.
If you are a one-eyed king in the land of the blind, what use?
Mm.
That is a demonic way of reasoning.
Mm. That's right.
Why can't we all flow
yes.
in the things of the Spirit? Why can't we all be established in Christ? Why can't we all be complete and entire in all the will of God, lacking nothing? Why can't we all?
Hallelujah.
My sacrifice to ensure it happens to me
love.
Will be love.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Love. Love. That love also will be the strength of the believer's relationships. It will be the strength of your relationships. Why do relationships within the body of Christ break so easily? Because it was built on another foundation. Even if we don't share very similar persuasions, our relationships should not be a picture of hell. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be a matter of malice. So, if, for example, Ibra is saying we must do things this way, it has to be this or nothing else. And I'm saying, nope, I think you should do it this way. Which happens a lot between me and him anyways. You see? You know? What should happen? Should that scatter our relationship? No! Because it's based on sacrifice. My connection with you is based on a sacrifice.
Mm.
Sacrifices are not deserved.
Mm.
They are not earned.
Mm. Mm.
So if my relationship with you is based on the strength that I love you despite what you do to me,
mm.
it means what you do to me does not have the ability to break the relationship.
Hallelujah.
Are you saying why malice does not make sense? You talk to a brother. You say, I don't talk to that brother anymore. No. To your tent, O Israel. You ask the brother why. He said, because he did this. I'm not saying he committed murder. No. Just some basic petty things. This is what happens every day. Just some basic petty things, like Ibra not replying my message for 3 days stretch, and I'm seeing him online. Some basic petty things. Basic petty things can destroy relationships. But when it is built on sacrifice, I just laugh over it. So I don't need his apology to me to restore the relationship. Christ has paid for him.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see, the Bible says, owe no man nothing but love. So we owe all men love. We are indebted to love men. However, you are not entitled to be paid for an offense. Christ has paid for the offense. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yes.
I am indebted to Brother Daniel Peter Salawu. But if he offends me, I'm not entitled to receive payment from him. Amen.
Amen.
Because when Christ died for me, he died for all. When he died for me, he died for everyone else. When he died, what did he do? He paid for the debts of every single person. Christ has paid. He paid in full on Daniel Peter Salawu's behalf. So when he offends me, what should I say? I should go to Christ and say, see what this brother has done to me. I take the payment from you. From the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. So I will not take the payment from him anymore because he has already paid.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So love then is the substance of the believer's spiritual growth. Love is the substance of the believer's spiritual growth. There is still so much to cover. So much to cover. But I just feel we should pray. Just feel we should pray. Let's go think on these things. Go meditate on them. Walk on, let the Spirit of Christ, the doctrine of Christ, walk so much in you, and it becomes your only reality. Your only reality. Your only reality. Your only reality. Let's just pray. Just pray in the Spirit now, everyone. Just pray in the Spirit. We'll sing that song again. Let us now see Him. See in Him the nature, the perfect nature of God. See in Him that nature, and see in Him yourself, because you are in Him. You are in Him. You are in Him. Focus on Him now and just pray. Just pray. Just pray. The nature of God is my nature. It's my nature. I see Him, and then I see myself in Him. I define myself by Him. He's my only reality. And then my conducts begin to be aligned to this reality. Just pray in the Spirit. Because as we see You, the world will see You in us. As we see You, the world will see You in us. As we see You, the world will see You in us. As we see You, the world will see You in us. 'Cause I eat the bread and I drink the wine of the Spirit. I eat the bread and I drink the wine of the Father. I eat the bread and I drink the wine of Koinonia. As we see You, the world will see You in us. As we see You, the world will see you in us. Yeah, as we see you, the world will see you in us. 'Cause I eat the bread, I drink the wine of the Spirit. I eat the bread, I drink the wine of the Father. I eat the bread, I drink the wine of Koinonia. As we see you, the world will see you in us. Just pray in the Spirit now. Just pray in the Spirit.